You're tuning in to Spectre Radio.
Revisiting our favorite Star Wars movie moments and debate about scenes from the show.
We're just three millennials flying our way through the galaxy through the eyes of the clones, Jedi, and bounty hunters.
I'm Wyatt.
I'm Andrew.
My name is Alyssa, and we are...
Spectre Radio.
There's no way out, Commissioner. Give yourself up.
Give up? I never give up. I didn't give up to the corrupt Republic. I didn't give up to the Empire. And I won't give up to you.
You're a spoiler?
Spoiler is a pejorative term. I support democracy.
Thank you, Commissioner Hellgate and Bo-Katan, for the spoiler warning. Again, this podcast contains adult content and spoilers.
Our people are scattered. Like stars in the galaxy. What are we? What do we stand for? Being a Mandalorian is not just learning about how to fight. You also have to know how to navigate the galaxy. That way, you'll never be lost.
I am podcast host Alyssa Nichols, friend of Wyatt and Andrew. You will listen to this episode and help us grow our following. I have spoken. Welcome back to Spectre Radio.
Yes.
Now we are proclaiming that.
As soon as he said Ugnaughts, I was like, yes, I have spoken.
It's my dad's favorite line to say to me.
Every dad's favorite line.
Exactly. So excited for us to be here today discussing chapter 22.
There we go.
Guns for Hire. See, I'm messing up. We're all messing up tonight. It's just, we're going to have a grand old time.
It's going to be one of those kinds of podcasts tonight.
Indeed.
So yeah, Guns for Hire. I'm excited to talk about the episode title once again. There were some other Disney Plus little things again. So we're going to dive all into that in a moment, but Andrew is going to kick us off with our episode recap.
The Mandalorian, Chapter 22, Guns for Hire. We open on Axe Wolves and the other Mandalorians at the helm of a stolen Imperial freighter on a mission to recover a Mon Calamari prince from his Quarren girlfriend. The gang then plans their course back to Plazier 15. We then rejoin Mando, Bo-Katan, and Grogu on a mission to the same planet, where they meet the Duchess and her husband, Captain Bombardier. The democratically elected royals will let them meet up with the other Mandalorians once they complete a quest to find the source of their rogue droids. Their investigation leads them to Commander Hellgate, an Ugnaught droid shop, a droid depot, and a droid bar, and a lab. They find Commander Hellgate's responsible and brings him to the Justice and Captain Bombardier, who banish him to exile. To thank Bo-Katan and Mando, they are awarded the key to the city, and Grogu is knighted. Bo-Katan is able to meet up with Axe Wolves and the other Mandalorians, and challenges him to a duel, one soldier to another. She defeats him, but the Mandalorians refuse to swear fealty, because she has not won the Darksaber in combat. Din Djarin interrupts them and tells the tale of how Bo-Katan is the rightful owner, having won it in combat from the droid monster that attacked him on Mandalore. Bo-Katan takes the Darksaber and ignites it. She has finally reclaimed what was hers.
Woo! Nice job. Has reclaimed the Darksaber.
By the way, I am so proud and glad that we go this deep into each recap because I watched this probably 15 hours before we record and I forget half the stuff that happened in it.
I literally just this time, like sometimes I'll read other recaps if I'm helping Andrew write. And this time I literally just sat there and was like, what happened in this episode? I think I could do it. And of course, Andrew, as always, has amazing edits and helps get it to the finish line.
Thank you.
So let's go ahead. Let's talk about our first category of instant reactions.
Reactions.
Probably my most fun part of editing is throwing on that huge echo for absolutely no reason. I don't know how we started that or where it came from. I really don't recall, but I don't care. It's fun.
It's the best.
I haven't heard any complaints from our listeners, so please don't start now. It's too late. We enjoy it too much.
No, and if you go back and listen to Endgame, you hear like our guests echo from us because
John Stewart, I think, does it.
John did. I think Ethan did it as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that was fun. Them. But
I miss all of our guests. Hope to see you all soon.
So let's talk about instant reactions.
Oh my god.
Why do I have to start this off every time?
Wyatt this morning. Wyatt this morning wanted to fight me because he texted the group, oh my god, with at the like exploding head emoji at like 7 a.m. Yeah. And I was like, be quiet.
I was like, I was gonna get up, but I'll just watch this instead. It.
Right. He was trying to get back at me because I always do that.
Yeah. So it's funny the amount of text I get saying that our predictions are pretty much spot on happened this entire season.
It only took us 3 seasons, but we got
3 seasons and 70 plus podcasts later talking about different, you know, this fandom and Marvel. Mm-hmm. This episode, I say, if I had to put a word to it, it was fun.
Mm. Yeah,
it was fun because we got all kinds of fun cameos, including Jack Black, Lizzo. As soon as I walked into that, I call it the dining hall, whatever we're calling that. Mm-hmm. And I heard Jack Black's voice. I'm like, no, that can't be him. Yeah. And then you zoom up on his goofy face. I'm like, yep, that's Mr. Tenacious D right there.
Yeah, I recognize him from that far away. And I was like, Alex, oh my god. And I paused it and he's like, what? And I'm like, that's Jack Black. And he's like, what? And then of course it zooms in and I was like, wait, it's Jack Black and Lizzo. At first I didn't believe
that it was Jack Black. I'm like, I know this is Jack Black, but like, does this fit? And it did. And I was like,
could you imagine how that phone call went from his manager? Was like, hey, I just got this phone call and I don't think you're going to believe it, but Lucasfilms just called. And he's like, yes, I don't care what it is. Yes.
Like he's probably just like, did they want me to do a School of Rock or whatever it's called?
No, I feel like that's more believable than Lizzo because she hasn't really done a lot of acting. So I'm like, how the hell did her agent pull that off? Yeah, I thought she did pretty good, but... And then, of course, Christopher Lloyd. We haven't even talked about that one yet. Mm-hmm. I was like, are you kidding me? I was freaking out, like, just wave after wave. Like, oh, my God, what's going to happen next? Who's going to be on here next? And there were a couple other, like, maybe not A-list celebrities that were in this episode that had cameos, too. But, oh, my God, they were all so good. Like, the Mon Calamari Prince. That's Tom Holland's brother.
Is it really?
Harry Holland.
Harry Holland was actually in No Way Home, and they cut his cameo from that. That's so funny.
He got uncredited for No Way Home.
Dang.
Yep. So there was like a couple other cameos. So funny.
So I wonder who his girlfriend was.
She was an actress from Batman Begins, I think, and she's from something else. I'll look her up really quick. I searched her earlier and I was like, what the heck was her
Christine Adams.
Yeah, that sounds right.
She African-American.
Yes. Yeah, she's black. I've seen British her in some things. Mm-hmm. She's from
Tron Legacy, Batman Begins. You were right. Black Lightning. She was in Black Lightning. I remember that.
Yes, that was what they said she was like famous for. And mm-hmm. I had never heard of that. So the Batman Begins, I was like, I'm pretty sure I saw her in that. But what was her character?
Castle, Agents of Shields. She was in Heroes. I remember her from Heroes.
I remember that show.
Funny. So Paul Cleaver texts me pretty much every Wednesday morning once the episode's dropped, just to kind of just to talk about it before we talk about it on the pod. And I said, I'm just happy that Jack Black is in Star Wars, that he has a canon character. And Paul goes, he's the third triplet. John Favreau, Dave Filoni, Jack Black. He says, no, but it gets better. He says, similar body styles, fat and funny.
Yes.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
So,
I love it.
Not going to lie, I was a little worried about Lizzo being on this because she has more. And how do I say this without sounding like an asshole? She has more.
But go ahead.
Like, I'll say sexual tendencies when she's on camera or like just like the her music is not vulgar, but it's not appropriate, I'll say.
Oh my God.
I was afraid that.
You sound 900 years old right now.
Well, let me keep going. So I was afraid.
Out of all the music that exists, hers is like one of the least vulgar out there. It's sexual, but I wouldn't say it's vulgar.
This is also coming from the same. It's also coming from the same lady who was playing on Thomas Jefferson's flute while twerking in the White House.
While twerking. That wasn't the
White House. How the heck is that appropriate?
Wasn't the White House. It was the Library of Congress.
Even so, it's a historical monument.
Who cares? It's music. You're
people who give a shit about history.
You're supposed to dance and have fun. I'm sure he would have fucking loved it.
That's debatable.
To you.
But anyway, I was worried that she was going to bring that into Star Wars, which is not the platform for it. It is not needed.
What?
This is a story, not to shake your ass across the screen.
I would love to see some twerking in Star Wars and ass shaking. I'm sure a lot of people would love to see a lot of twerking and ass shaking in Star Wars.
We are different people.
I would love to see that, especially after the Death Star exploded. I would be twerking my ass on the dance floor when the Death Star explodes. Andrew is so silent right now.
Anyway, back to the
Andrew's
back to what actually happens in the episode.
Andrew's caught between like mom and dad are fighting, and he's just the awkward like son just sitting there, just like, can we just shut up and move on?
No, I meant to pour myself a bowl of Cocoa Pebbles and have it on mute while this was happening, but I forgot.
Eat your cereal.
So
son.
Now,
no, but I am.
I love your father. It's all right.
I am happy about the cameos. You know, whatever Alyssa and I's differences are, I don't, whatever, that is what it is. That's what makes this podcast fun and spicy. Anyway, I wish they would have done a better job with the fight at the end. It like the way Den kind of just interrupted and was like, oh, hey, by the way, this happened.
No, by the way, the fans were right.
Yeah, well, technically Andrew was right.
I'm not
well.
The only fan who did that. I've seen that on the internet, but yes, thank you. I appreciate
it. I had
that.
Seen it too. Yeah.
Like I said, this episode was fun. I wish I had time to watch it a second time before we recorded. Hence why I'm also very thankful that we got to listen to the recap and kind of get a refresher on what happened. Because again, I forgot about half the stuff that happened. I had a very long day at work. And I still have a long day to work to go after this Zoom call. So that's my.
You should listen to some Lizzo to decompress.
Have you jump through this window I'm staring at on this hotel. Andrew.
Give it a chance before you even.
Andrew, what do you think?
We're going to play it at my wedding. It's fine.
What do I think about what? You said a lot.
This episode.
Okay, great.
Well, we're actually here to talk about not the...
You brought it up. You brought it up.
Yes, and?
So?
I will start bringing a bottle of Jack into this room when we start recording every time. Don't make me. I will.
Best life.
So what I think of this episode, I agree. I think it was fun. I thought there were a lot of really cool cameos. Again, like I said, I was like Jack Black. I'm like, I know that's him. I'm like, but am I just seeing what I want to see? Or is that actually him? And then he spoke. I was like, for those of you who can't see, I had a
his jaw was open
with my jaw open. For those of you who know me, you've seen the look before. So I was
a very Andrew look.
It is a very me look. It's had ridiculous. So that was really cool. I didn't recognize Lizzo because I don't spend a crap ton of time on social media. But like once I saw it on IMDb, I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm like, I've seen a picture or two of her, you know, before. I was like, okay. I was like, I didn't know she had ever acted before, but she did a pretty good job.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Good job, girl. And then we got Christopher Lloyd, good old Doc Brown. Actually, I think the first thing I saw Christopher Lloyd in, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he was in the Clue movie based off the board game in like the 80s.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Because I don't remember if I saw that first or if I saw Back to the Future. Actually, knowing my dad, I probably saw Back to the Future first, but as like a 3-year-old and probably don't remember it. But from that time. So
yeah,
there was
you're right.
That.
He and was Professor Plum.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So.
Wow.
Oh, that was good such a good movie. That yeah, was, great movie. Was a great movie.
And the alternate was fun.
Yes. We got all the different kinds of droids. So that was really cool. We
oh my God,
get, like,
there were so
droids.
Many.
We got the droid pilot from the ride from Star Wars.
Yeah, and there was that big yellow one that I was like, where is he from? I've seen him around. I think he's in the outside of the droid depot, like where mm-hmm. they have like all, just all of them hanging out. I'm like, I think that's where
I think
I saw
so,
that one.
If I remember correctly.
It was like a big chunky yellow droid. I don't know how else to describe it, but
what's
there were
funny,
a few where I was like, I've seen this before, but I don't know where.
What's funny is before Disney officially bought Star Wars, that Star Wars ride in Hollywood Studios, that droid pilot's name was Captain Rex before the character
right.
of Captain. He was always like, this is Captain Rex in the cockpit.
Yeah.
And then they actually made a character named Captain Rex. So that was pretty funny.
And
so it was cool to see all those.
He's also the DJ in the... Mm-hmm. Cantina.
Yes. So we got a lot of cool droid cameos
yeah,
and
cool.
we got to see a super battle droid run instead of just like lumbering forward like zombie like.
Yeah.
I was
that
like,
thing can
imagine
move.
That thing like in a football game against
you.
Like I was like, just no. I was like, that thing was surprisingly limber for like everything. I was like, this guy is evading capture
yeah.
pretty darn well. So that was cool. We got a lot of cool stuff like that. We got to see what an individual democracy looks like in a new republic, which is supposed to be more of a democracy than the empire. So that was pretty cool. We got to see what happened to Moff Gideon's ship. So, because that's what Axe Wolves has.
Oh, yeah.
That was his light cruiser, which fun fact, all of the light cruisers you see in like Rebels and Clone Wars are like way smaller than his. His is like a command carrier version.
I thought that was a ship.
Compensating for something.
What's that?
I thought that was a ship because when
yeah.
we had the first, yeah, we heard you, Alyssa.
Okay.
So when we had that first flyby of the ship, we're like, are we getting Moff Gideon already?
Yeah, that was my thought too. I think that's
the
what they
I
wanted us
ship,
to think.
I was like, because they showed right before that the flashbacks with Koska Reeves and Axe
right.
Wolves. And I was like,
yeah.
oh, I was like, I guess I know what happened to this ship. The Mandalorians have it. So
it's funny because I also, like when I talked last week, I skipped the recap.
Mm-hmm. You skipped
at least, I skip it at least on the first watch. I'll watch it on the rewatch. Because again, I want to be totally surprised whenever I actually come through to watch it.
I was under the covers when I pressed play. I put my hands back under, so that was pretty much it at that point. I was like, "Well, I was going to skip this, but I'm not getting up
no.
until I have to get ready for work."
Alex was like, "Let's skip it," and I said, "No," and he was like, "Okay." So he went in the other room while I watched it, and then I was like, "Okay, it's over." He came out.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, but yeah,
so,
I mean, it changes how you watch the episode. It's fair.
Did the planet when they first like cleared the atmosphere? Did the planet not look like a revitalized Mandalore, like with the dome
yeah.
cities?
Oh, yeah, with the domes.
I was
yeah.
like, obviously, there was a lot of green, which is not how Mandalore is, but it's how Mandalore used to be. So it was kind of funny that a whole group of Mandalorians was settling there.
Dome
right,
cities seem more and more popular, at least now that we're seeing it more.
Well, it's a construction style that works. So, I mean, I guess we shouldn't be too surprised that we're seeing more and more of that. We just it was just so limited before, but we're blessed to be in a show that's world building as well as this show
mm-hmm.
was. So I'm hoping we see like other like forms of civilizations too at some point. That would be really cool. Because, I mean, like how many new planets have we gotten in?
So many.
Like we've gotten, I mean, now.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the planets we've gone to have been in like Legends and stuff before, but
right.
for like most viewers, these are all new planets.
Yeah.
Like anyone who has been like only a Star Wars fan for like 15 years or less, these are all new planets. Like this is really good world building. And like we see how
yeah.
their government works on this one off planet.
Yeah.
We don't know that we're going to be there next episode, and we know how their government works. Like
right.
in 40 something minutes, they did a really good job of explaining that. And we actually got to see what the droids are thinking, like now that they like
Yeah.
Here we go.
I was just going to say, like, Din and Bo Katan had a conversation, like, me and Andrew, and how he was like, you know, oh, I hate the droids, or what, not that I'm saying Andrew said that, but basically she was kind of taking the position of they're programmed that way, or Din said they're programmed that way. And she was like, yeah, but then they're kind of like going beyond their programming. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, see, it's me and Andrew having a conversation.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
that was so funny.
Well, it was like cool to see that, like, the droids were like, hey, yeah, we need you to, like, shut down the rogue stuff, because otherwise we're going to be out of work, and yeah, we want to work.
That whole runner was a bit confusing for me. And even watching it the second time, I was just like, how did they know that was writing? And then I was like, okay, well, that makes sense that it's a chain code, because they showed their chain code in the beginning of the episode. And the only purpose for us seeing that was to connect it to the chain code later. Like, there was no purpose, really. Like, that didn't, you know, it was like mm-hmm. literally for the purpose of the viewer and less anything.
I think people
will
forget what a chain code is.
Right.
It's fairly new, and we've only seen it a couple of times between right. Bad Batch and now. So,
and then they're like, spark pad. And I'm like, is this like a business card? Like, what? What's the purpose of that?
I don't
like,
even know what a spark pad is.
Yeah. So if Andrew doesn't know, then we're really screwed.
So, yeah, if that was one of your questions for me, sorry.
It was.
That one early.
It was. I literally wrote it as a question. I was like, I bet Andrew will know. But that's what it seems to be, is almost like, because she was like, oh, yeah, here's the address. So I'm like, yeah.
It's like a matchbook for droids, like when they like leave a bar and grab
No, literally. That would make sense. Like a spark pad matchbook, like you spark. A match on
look
it.
At me guessing things.
That would be
it just reminds me of every cop show where they're like, oh, where does this guy usually hang out when they're searching an apartment and they find a matchbook.
Right.
I'm like,
totally
like
right.
Every show ever.
Every
they even did it in Heroes.
Law and Order.
They literally speaking of Heroes a minute ago, they literally did that in Heroes. So
when they were walking through the I guess the droid cantina, we'll call it.
The oil can, as Bo-Katan
the
called
resistor.
It.
That's a good name.
The oil
resistor.
Can.
Was I the only one waiting for like Bender from Futurama to kind of peer in the corner?
Well, it was so funny because the bartender like cut the guy off. He like pulled the tube out of him.
Yeah, he's
and
like
Alex
cut
goes,
off.
"Oh, look, he cut him off." I was like, "Oh my god, I didn't take it that way." But yeah, I could have seen Bender in that corner of the universe. Oh man. Well, for mine, Alex remembered the Quarrens right away from that like pirate ship episode where they were mm-hmm. like drowning Mando.
Yeah.
And then in the like, because I had read him the summary, and this time on Disney Plus, it didn't have the episode title, but it had a summary.
I saw that.
And it had a still image. And last time it didn't. So mm-hmm. I'm like,
they're listening.
I don't
to
know.
Us.
They're just.
I
like,
think it's on purpose. It's on purpose.
Be. It's got to be, because it was like a throwaway, and then last week was not a throwaway. Like, I don't know. So, I mean, obviously.
It was interesting. The last episode we saw, Axe Wolves, was the episode with these Quarren.
Right, right.
That was
and so, yeah, exactly. And the Quarren was the still on there, the Quarren captain. So, yeah, Alex remembered who they were right away. And I thought that CGI was really good with her coming out of the tank. I was like, dang.
That was really cool.
It's like movie quality. Like I keep saying, it keeps getting better and better.
Well, what's cool is it reminded me that in the Legends Star Wars books, the Mon Calamari ships that they have in Episode 6 in the Rebel fleet, they were built technically as like buildings underwater and launched from there.
Mm.
But the Mon Calamari are used to swimming underwater, so it's very damp in there. So like humans, when they're in there, they're like just soaked from the atmosphere.
It probably smells so bad as well.
Well, it's just interesting to see how different species
not under a Mandalorian helmet
or whatever on their ships, and now they're showing it. So that's really cool. That's another level of world building right there.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought again the episode title, like we kind of talked about, you know, how every episode title has been like a double meaning for me, I feel like, in a way. And how this time, like it was Guns for Hire.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, the Axe Wolves crew was like, you know, we're individuals for hire. And I was like, okay, I see it. Like they're Guns for Hire. And then when Bo-Katan and Mando came to Plaisir 15, it was like another layer of Guns for Hire because they couldn't use their Mandalorians on planet because that's considered an army or whatever she said.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the episode went on and there were so many celebrity cameos, I was like, I feel like this is kind of a satire because they brought in so many big guns to this episode, like big gun celebrity names.
That's another like layer to it.
Guns for Hire. So
the dual meaning of the episode.
I just
names,
love that there's
like
all these layers to the meanings of the names. And we didn't talk about this last week, but we did get a crossover from The Office to Star Wars, Tim Meadows. He was the baby back ribs guy from The Office. And he was also like the vice principal from Mean Girls, if you remember him from that. He was like the New Republic officer who was like talking to that captain guy and was like, yeah, I'm not going to send you any help. I'm not going to do anything. So they kind of started with the cameos there, I feel like. And maybe even sooner in the season, we've been getting like sprinkles.
Oh, he was in the Goldbergs too. He was like their principal, I think.
Okay, yeah.
He had a parrot and called her Feather Lockler.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of like, you know, starting the snowball of the celebrity cameo. So I don't know. I mean, we still have a few episodes left. We might get some more.
We have two episodes left.
Yeah. But I thought it was interesting how there was kind of this Romeo and Juliet theme throughout it too. I don't know if you guys noticed, like in the beginning, obviously we had our star-crossed lovers who were the Mon Calamari prince and the Corran captain lady. And so she was like, oh, this is a childish fling. And he's like, oh, is that all this is to you? And, you know, she's got to kick the puppy to see if it's going to come back to her kind of thing. And then we had the Duchess and we had Captain Bombardier, and she was saying how he was brought in by the amnesty program and her family was the one that ruled the planet for so long and they ended up falling in love. So it was kind of like, again, not exactly on the nose of the Romeo Juliet trope, but I just noticed kind of, again, this.
It had inklings of it for
sure. Like, yeah, this kind of mirroring of that storyline. So I thought that was really cool. I know one of you just mentioned that it gave you the planet Plaisir 15 gave you the vibes of like Mandalore. I immediately got Epcot vibes because like as they're flying into the planet, this music is playing and all of a sudden someone's directing you to a parking spot and they're like, here's your parking lane. Like, I'm telling you where to park.
And then you get on the monorail.
Right. And then you get on the monorail and there's a big dome in the center. I was like, this is all very Epcot to me. And then Grogu's like loving the monorail ride. Like,
you can
like,
even drop your kid off somewhere as they did.
Right. Exactly. So at KidCot, that was literally my thought was like, this is literally Epcot. That was so funny. And again, I feel like now that we're getting to the back nine here, as we call it, they're weaving in these storylines intentionally and then now unintentionally by bringing back the amnesty program. And so it's like, okay, well, now they want us thinking with these chain codes and these not spark plugs, spark pads and all these things. Like you're thinking back to the episode where the droid was the one delivering all the data, right? And we had all these microchips and things. So it's like, okay, like this is all starting to come together almost. And like, make sense, and all the plots are kind of still coming together. I loved the Alice in Wonderland vibe we got. It was so colorful and there were so many creatures in the dome, and then later with the game and Grogu helping her win, and Lizzo's a lefty, so I was like dying. I loved noticing that. And they were playing flute music whenever Lizzo was on screen and like while she was talking as an homage to her being a flute player, so I thought that was really cool. We got a Princess Kreese mention. I was like, oh my God, like she's getting the respect again. And like, they're going to help Mandalore get respect again. So it's interesting that we're talking about the domes and that now they have the key to the city and you can come back whenever you want. And now you have a plot of land in the lava flats. And it's like,
they
you have
gave
all these
the key to the city. It reminds me of like Flash or Superman. Like they're always getting the key to the
or
city
Spider-Man
in the comics.
3.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of it. Exactly. So I thought that was really interesting. And
do you think there was any meaning to like her, to Lizzo's characters, like floating like peacock feather thing?
No, I don't. I mean, I feel like that was more so like, for me, it was like the Alice in Wonderland vibe, like,
okay,
kind of like painting her as the Red Queen, right? And how she always had the big collar behind her. I think it was just more so like a sign of royalty. But did you have a thought on like a significance?
No. No,
I'll probably never notice those kinds of things, by the way.
I mean, when she turned around, it made it very obvious because mm-hmm. it followed her and it was like this big hologram.
I mean, I saw it was there, but I probably didn't think anything of it. Oh, right, I'm like, oh, right. That's her
I didn't
outfit.
Think it
I was
had
like, I'm not a costume designer, right. So I have no idea.
It yeah. might be like a royalty thing. Like, you know, the yeah. Duchess wears, you know, you can identify the Duchess by this peacock feather thing mm-hmm. that
yeah.
she wears.
Okay. Yeah, I feel
I
like
know,
that
I mean,
could
I. You know, or that could have been her own add-on to the character. Who
she's
knows?
Like, this could give this some more
yeah,
flair
she
or
does,
something like that.
She does wear a lot of very... She's very similar to Lady Gaga in that respect, where her outfits are always mm-hmm. very, like, out there and pop star-like. So that mm-hmm. that could
sure.
be. I was rethinking the plot of how originally Commissioner Hellgate was like, you know, oh, yeah, I want you to find the rogue droids and... go down to the Ugnaughts and they'll help you. And I think he thought that would be a dead end and that mm-hmm. that would be the end of it. And then didn't know Mando's backstory with Queel, mm-hmm. that he would be able to go down there and communicate with them and get what he wanted. So that's where I was like, well, why would he send them down there if he was trying to send them off on a goose chase? And
he's probably
throw
like,
off the set.
The Ugnaughts have never helped me before.
Right.
They're certainly not going to help these people.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that was really clever that he thought that, and then of course he was able to overcome it. So I thought that was interesting. And I couldn't find this anywhere. The Ugnaught that was speaking, I think, is the character Saphir. And it sounded like a woman. And to me, it sounded like Pat Carroll, who's the voice of Ursula. She passed away. And I was wondering if they got her to like do it before she passed.
Dale
but all I could
Dickey.
Find was yeah all I could find was Dale Dickey. So it doesn't show you like a still that Saphir is the Ugnaught, at least when I googled it at 8 a.m but I'm assuming that's who it is, and based on the projects I've seen her in previously, I think she was in an episode of Grey's Anatomy where she was a biker and she had a really gruff voice and some other things. So that was a great casting choice. I thought she was really, really good. And then there were some other cameos we talked about, you know, the obvious ones, but there were two more. We got the original voice of the battle droids back, Matthew mm-hmm. Wood. Mm-hmm. He's also the voice of General Grievous. So we had a nod to General Grievous and a Roger Roger battle droid.
I think
droid.
He's been doing battle droid voices since episode one.
I think you're right. I think he's like the
wow.
original guy.
99.
So,
we're probably recording
yeah.
in late 98.
So
24
they had him,
years.
Yeah. So they had him back to be the droid foreman. And then, you know, of course, Commissioner Hellgate gave a nod to Grievous and, oh, he was a great leader or whatever he said. And then there was a connection to our director, Bryce Dallas Howard, in this episode. The bartender droid at the Resistor Bar, Seth Gable, is her husband.
Oh,
so
okay.
That was kind of cool.
I remember she directed this one.
Uh-huh. So I thought
cool.
that was neat. My only other thought, Alex kept saying how this sequence reminded him of iRobot, which I have not seen. And he was saying, now I need to go watch that movie.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
I've seen half of that movie. I haven't seen the whole thing.
But my only thought was, why were we so selective about using the jetpacks in this episode? Like,
they could have used it to chase down that super
yeah.
villager in a second and a half.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Din was wearing his, or if he was, it was like under his cape. I couldn't tell. And man, they better be paying his stuntman extra, because that guy was running through the streets.
He has two, I believe.
Yeah,
he does.
And I was like, there's no way that's Pedro doing all this cardio and like slippery running in that armor and like getting banged upside the helmet. Like, that was crazy. But I'm like, why did she just like, it was cool to see her jump over the fallen stuff in the way with the jetpack. But I'm like, we just saw, obviously, you have to be somewhat conservative with your jetpack fuel in these other episodes, but like,
Maybe she didn't want to get any sparks on anybody else because it was like close quarters with other people. Yeah, that was my only other thought.
Maybe it's because she's in a city full of people, but I thought that was interesting. The fight scene, Wyatt, I agree with you. It made me uncomfortable to see a man punch a woman in the face. Like, normally we get all these sequences where everybody's wearing a helmet and it kind of desensitizes you to the fact that like men and women are fighting each other. But
I think
fact
she
that,
left her helmet on the ship, which means he wasn't, in the name of honor, he wasn't going to put his on.
No,
that just isn't
like,
right.
Of course. But I'm just saying, like, I feel like that's why I was maybe more sensitive to it this episode than I have been previously, mm-hmm. because he wasn't like punching her in the gut or throwing her across the field. Like, he was straight up punching her in the mouth.
Well,
like,
normally that is a fight to the death.
No, for
what
sure.
They're doing.
It
and,
makes sense.
And yes, it made me uncomfortable too, but I was just like, equality? Question mark?
No, like, I mean, I totally get it.
It was uncomfortable. I was like, I'm like, oh, he punched her. I'm like, oh, he punched her again. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, they're.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was kind of the reaction they wanted to get, but I was just like taken aback. Like, I don't know why it just, I feel like it affected me more than.
And in all fairness, if he had challenged her, that would also be like another thing. It's like, you could have not challenged her and not punched her in the face.
No, that's
like,
fair.
But she also
that
challenged
does,
you.
That does change the dynamic that she was the.
Not to say that she gave consent for getting punched in the face, but like,
well,
this was done on her terms.
No, that's fair. Yeah. I mean, I feel like she kind of.
It's just
did
a weird way to say that sentence.
No, yeah. I mean,
I consent to you punching her in the face.
But it's true. If like you're, like you said, she said there's been enough bloodshed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for everything, which makes sense, but,
which is why she didn't kill him, or why she didn't try to kill
me off guard. I was talking about one of my ex-boyfriends yesterday who I was afraid was going to hit me, so I'm like, maybe that was on my mind in the back of my head, that memory of like almost being physically assaulted by a man. So the pump was primed a bit for that. So when I saw that, I was like, dang.
No,
but yeah,
Andrew,
that was crazy.
I have a question for you. So if the challengee, the person being challenged, says, no, I'm not going to fight you, does he automatically give up the authority that they have?
I don't think he would give up the authority like he would have to give it up, but he would lose a lot of respect.
Oh, sure.
And most of those Mandalorians probably wanted to see that fight go down anyway. If he didn't, he would basically lose it because the respect is gone. So I don't think that he would like, I don't think there's an automatic like, oh, well, you lost it. It would happen just through the viciousness of just how clan like they are, and not clan spelled with a K, clan spelled with a C for clarification. They go by houses and clans for people who are listening to this podcast who do not know that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that answer that question?
It does. And I figured like Mandalorians are violent, not violent, but they talk with their fists. You know, if they're gonna settle a dispute, it's gonna be with fighting.
Oh yeah.
So
serve you up a knuckle sandwich. Right?
And you know, going back to what you guys were talking about, you know, fighting Bo, I don't think they see the gender role that we see now.
No.
So I think fighting is fighting. It doesn't matter whether it's man or woman, it doesn't matter. Fighting's fighting.
Right.
Especially in a culture like the Mandalorian culture.
Absolutely.
All soldiers, basically.
Right. But to your point, Wyatt, when you're talking about what's appropriate and not appropriate for a Disney show, that was a bit much, I feel like, to see a man punching a woman in the face.
It was a step for sure.
We've seen a lot of fighting and we've seen a lot of like men and women fighting. But I feel like that was a little different.
In all fairness,
somebody
Maul
just square up and just
someone in Clone Wars. I mean, we didn't see,
well,
we heard the
we
head
seem
roll,
we're
but
desensitized to murder at this point.
So, Alyssa, then based on what you just said, would your opinion have changed if they were wearing helmets?
I feel like I wouldn't have been as like affected or triggered or whatever word you want
to
use, because she would have something to protect her, and if he would have punched her in the helmet, it's like she's not going to get hurt or injured.
Well, no, I'm meaning for like, you know, you just said that, you know, it's a step for Disney to show a woman getting punched in the face. Would you have felt differently if they were on helmets based on that? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, because in the past, that's all they've done. And like, I can't, and I could be wrong, but I cannot think of a time in live action where we have seen the violence to that point. And like, there are people who watch this with their kids that now have to have a conversation and be like, first of all, it's never okay to punch someone in the face, regardless of their gender.
Yeah.
There are instances where you might have to because your life is threatened. And that's what, you know, is the point of
that. There's a difference between appropriate and necessary. Yeah.
Right. But it's like, you know, I know Dexter watches this with his kids sometimes. I don't know if like, you know, as a parent, I would have, I feel like I would have to watch this before watching it with my kids to feel like what's appropriate or not appropriate.
Well, isn't this this is PG-13, isn't it?
I don't know what it is. I don't think so.
Because didn't we have the first curse word in The Mandalorian?
In Andor.
Andor, yeah, we had the first curse word. So,
yeah, but not in Mandalorian.
No, but it's still
on Disney Plus
show.
But that's not
like,
I don't know what the ratings are.
It says TV-14 and it says violence.
Okay.
The reason is violence. Mm-hmm.
So okay. Then obviously that's.
And the question under this is Mandalorian okay for a 7-year-old? It says season 3, younger than 5 or 6, not appropriate.
Probably
14 is the appropriate. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the point of
it. Said season
it
3
changing. Yeah, it says season 3. That's the point. You know what I mean? And then the fact of the matter is the whole Darksaber thing was so anticlimactic. Like, I feel like that fight needed to happen, obviously, but I don't know.
It's like,
I feel
here, like, take it.
Yeah, I feel like, again, like, almost if it was a battle royale, it would have been better. And then
I think it meant more that Mando didn't say it until after she won.
No, because of course.
If he would have just said it before he challenged, right, like there was no, there's no weight to that.
Right.
Whereas she won, she spared him, and now he's saying this, so that gives credibility to it for sure.
Right. And he was saying, "Well, that Mando's the one, you know, Din Djarin's the one you should be challenging." And she's like, "Everybody, stop. There's been enough people being killed."
Mm-hmm.
So no, I think that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, it was a bit like I was satisfied seeing her at the end ignite it and whatnot, but like it wasn't to the point where I thought I would be excited about it. Like I wasn't bopping up and down on the couch screaming at the TV like I was.
I don't know that we were going to have a way that happened.
I think we will.
Unless she won it in combat.
We can talk. I think we will get there and we'll talk about it in predictions. There were two more things I was quickly going to mention, then we'll move on because I've been hammering a lot of points. Or I think maybe it was just one more. Oh no, yeah, it was two. So Grogu's knighted. I am unwell, was what I put in my notes. And I was like, he is so cute. And the way she just cradled him the entire episode and scratched his little head and just, I was like, oh my God, I never knew I wanted to see anything more than Lizzo holding Baby Yoda. Like my heart.
She's like, she's playing the character I want to be playing right now.
Yeah. She was like, I'm sure she was like, okay, I know you wrote this part for me and you want me to be this regal character, but also can I hold the baby? Like that was probably the terms of her contract negotiation. I have to hold the baby, which I love that.
And feed the baby too.
Right. Exactly. And one of her lines was my favorite one of the whole episode when she said, is there no room for forgiveness in a galaxy so vast? Cause we talked about like all the planets we're getting and all the creatures and species we're getting and the world building. And it's just like, there's all these like crazy conflicts and plot points going. I just thought that was a very like hallmark moment for a Star Wars TV show to have a quote like that. I thought that was like, I'm like, I want that on a pillow. Like, I love that. Like, I want that stitched on a pillow in my Star Wars office in my room. So yeah, just so many amazing reactions from this episode. I could talk about it forever. And I'm so glad we didn't wait to record and we're doing this on Wednesday.
Yeah, for sure.
Instead of something else. Okay. So let's talk about predictions, shall we?
Are we
ready?
Let's go. Let's see if we can knock this out of the park again.
Okay. And I see Wyatt changed his name to Lizzo and then went dark on us.
Did you see what I changed my name to?
Yes, Andrew, please read it for
us. Oscar Reeves' husband, and what she can't see is bless up.
Yeah, hashtag bless up is what it should say.
Oscar Reeves. Anyway.
I can't even. Oh, my God. So, yeah, my thought when, you know, we were just talking about Bo-Katan holding the Darksaber, I don't know if we'll get this the next episode or if we'll get it in the finale. But I feel like, you know, she didn't lift the saber. And I don't know about you guys, but I was waiting for her to like lift it and the music to swell and it to be this like triumphant music. And we didn't get that. So I feel like she's not going to do that until she's on top of the Mythosaur. And then it's going to be like, bow down to me, bitches. Like,
it's going to be a bigger moment than like Khaleesi on the dragon.
Yeah.
I'm about to say, that's what we're going to get. We're going to get Emilia Clarke riding Drogo is what the kind of vibes we're going to get.
No, Emilia Clarke is in the Avengers series, Wyatt, not Star Wars. She will be, I think, coming up in like Secret Wars or Secret Invasion or something like that.
Yeah. She was in Star Wars, but she was in Solo. So
yeah. I'd like to see that character again, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Who knows? Timeline would kind of work out, so who knows, but
she could deceive me in a heartbeat. Shoot.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other prediction is like, what is the armor's reaction is going, what is her reaction going to be now that Bo-Katan has the Darksaber? Because she knew she was going to be able to walk both worlds and get them to bend the knee to her side, swear fealty and bend come back, bend the fucking knee and come back to the covert. But it's like, how is the armor going to react when she sees her holding the Darksaber? Like, she knows enough about it. She knows that it technically, you know, belongs to Bo-Katan, that it should belong to her, and that it's been fighting Mando this whole time, and she was helping train Mando on it. So it's like, is she going to be okay with this? Because she is kind of this unspoken leader. Like, she has the respect and she holds the towel, right? Like, in the family meetings, like we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, she kind of plays this passive leadership role where like what she says goes, but she's not a helicopter mom, you know, by any means. She's very much like, these are the rules, follow my rules. And if not, you go to timeout. So I'm very interested to see what's going to happen. I feel like it's going to go good or it's going to go bad. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? Like, what's going to go down between Bo-Katan and the armor?
You think there's
going to
be a lot of drama, don't you?
I feel like they're building to it because, like you said, Andrew, they never had a throwdown, knockdown, drag out argument.
That's
when
true.
Like they don't get along. They are from opposite sides, and the armor was very much like, oh yeah, it's cool, it's whatever. And Bo-Katan was like, okay,
she was very blasé for the leader of a cult.
Right.
So I'm interested to see how that's going to go.
I feel like because we haven't gotten that and she's been like, it's cool, it's water under the bridge. Now she's going to come back with the Darksaber and all the Mandalorians like swearing allegiance to her.
I mean,
she
did tell her to go do almost all of those things minus the Darksaber.
Minus the Darksaber. But I feel like that's going to change the dynamic a bit. The Darksaber and she's the one who saw the Mythosaur. Like, I just feel like in a way, if you were the leader, if you were the president of this organization and all of a sudden somebody else came in and they had all the shiny new toys and everybody wanted to flock to them, like you would be
jealous.
Bo-Katan
has blood, right?
Right. But it's like the armor doesn't necessarily like respect
recognize
that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
she should if she said, do you respect my station enough to obey me when I tell you to take your helmet off?
But so. I just feel like, I don't know if jealous is the right word. That's maybe too sexist of a word. I don't think that's
I mean, men get jealous just fine.
No, they
Alyssa,
do, but
that,
I'm just saying, you know.
That also goes against your whole theory about the armor secretly working for somebody else.
I don't think it goes against that theory. Not per se. I think it's still plausible. The more it's playing out, the less it seems like it's real. But it's like, she's still such a big question mark. Because again, like,
she's always been a question mark.
She's just very hard to read. And of course, because she wears a fucking helmet, like, who can tell what she's thinking under that thing?
So, okay, so let me ask you and Wyatt this question then. So you thought she was going like a Cersei route, and Wyatt thinks that Bo-Katan is going a Cersei route. Do you still think those things?
I only said Cersei because Wyatt said Cersei. I don't think she's gonna burn everything to the ground.
I'm not Cersei. I'm I'm more Khaleesi now. I think she's about to ride.
She's going to start off good and end bad. Like a terrible season 8 ending. That's what Wyatt thinks.
No, yeah.
No, I'm not. Are you asking about the armor or about Bo? Okay.
For Bo-Katan.
I don't know. Like, I wasn't expecting her to get the Darksaber. So.
What?
Yeah.
I thought I predicted it. It's fine.
I thought Din has spoken.
This is the way. I have such a big smile on my face. Yeah, I'm not right terribly often in life.
You've got
so
a dopey smile. I love it. No, yeah. I mean, we all knew that was coming. I didn't think it would come that fast, but that's been the whole freaking season.
Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. I feel like that's how they could have ended this season. Was
yeah, but that's predictable for them, so they didn't want to do that. Anything that's predictable, they've said fuck that this season, and I've started something completely different. So,
mm-hmm. True.
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, to answer your question, Andrew, I don't necessarily think I've ever specifically painted her in the same light as Cersei. My only vibe was that she's a villain. I don't think she's going to kill everybody or like, but I could still see her betraying people because I still don't know what's going on with the eyeball guy. He keeps coming back and I'm like, they're pointing him towards the Corrin. Like, is he just an eyeball off a Corrin head?
I wonder if they
like,
just showed him
like,
just because...
knows?
They wanted to, like, when Din tells his story at the end of this, oh, when I was captured, in case anybody forgot who captured him. Or I'm wondering if they put that in there just to stir the pot. Like, yeah, we're never going to have him again. But these theories
no,
on the
internet
are
I feel
are
like it's
to.
Such a loose end, though. And I know I talked about this last week because I gave Alex, like, a 3-hour lecture on it at the house about how, like, that ties into the Beskar that was left in the transport for mm-hmm. Moff Gideon. Like, who has access to Beskar? Eyeball guy has access to a shit ton of Beskar. So does mm-hmm. the armor. So does, you know, there's a number of suspects in the crime scene here. So it's not completely written off, but I don't know. It's very...
I feel like us talking
unknown.
About Star Wars to our immediate family looks like that picture, that meme of Charlie Day
yeah.
from...
With the conspiracy
with, yeah, with I think
board.
It's from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yep. No, that's... I use that meme all the time.
I love
it's
that.
It's literally
meme.
That. My only other prediction, like, we got a very small snippet of Jack Black and Lizzo singing to each other. They were like, I love you, I love you. Like, they were, like, kind of mocking and, like, singing to each other. And I was just like, oh, my God. What if we circle back to this somehow in the future and we get... an episode where the two of them are singing.
Episode?
No, not a musical episode. Okay. I doubt Star Wars would ever do that. No. Only
Star Wars
in my
is a musical.
Dreams. Only in my dreams,
it would
Andrew. Baseball is the musical.
Special.
Only in my dreams. But no, I think we'll definitely get, I hope, I'm predicting, I'm manifesting that we get Jack Black and Lizzo singing. And maybe it's like, you know, the Ewoks are dancing at the end when the Death Star explodes. It's like they're singing at somebody's wedding or somebody's at Grogu's like installation into the Mandalorian Order. They're singing to celebrate at the banquet because he's a knight in her kingdom. Like, I don't know. I just threw that out there. And you know, maybe she's twerking. Like, I would be here for it. She's going to give a little twerk, like, eventually because Wyatt doesn't want it. So now it's going to happen. Perfect. PG-14. I mean, come on. There you go. TV-14 rating. We could take a little twerk.
I'm done going there.
She's fully clothed. Mom and dad do worse things at home in front of their kids.
But
what are your predictions? Come on.
Again, I'm horrible with this. You two are the ones that usually are spot on with what happens. So we're on our 6th episode in, we have 2 to go. Either we're going to stay in this realm, in this, like, I don't know how to say this, but we're going to stay on this exact kind of story and then it's going to grow, that it's going to grow from here, or they're going to take us to a completely different world next week. And that's how they're going to do a part one, part two to and the season and possibly the show. I know I'm not sure about that. Have they done?
There was like an article that speculated they're doing
season five.
Yeah, there was an article speculating they're going to want to do years and years of The Mandalorian. And I feel like this season has been so strong and so rich and wide, like Andrew was saying, that they're opening the door for so many little plot points to fill in all the gaps to keep continuing to expand upon the universe. So yeah, I feel like we're not going to get an end or a resolution to the entire story arc for a very long time. And we're going to follow the journey as long as we can.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I figured. I'm still standing as I was re-listening to our last week's pod.
Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid.
So anyway, as I was listening to last week's pod as I was editing it, I pick up different things that we say, and just because obviously as we're talking now, we're planning what we're going to talk about, not necessarily planning a reply. So yeah, we kind of have what we're about to say in our head already lined up, but not really focusing on what, you know, the next person's saying. So I pick up different things on the re-listen from us, and I'm still under the question on who our grand villain is in this season. We obviously know it's someone that we haven't had on screen yet. I'm not going to dare look it up on IMDb to see who's been cast.
Is it a question, though? Like, is it really a question?
I think it is. I really think it is.
Andrew's, Alyssa, this Andrew's is, with me.
Alyssa, this is also the show that we have the reveal of Baby Grogu, and nobody saw it coming.
Yeah, but that was the first episode.
Exactly. That's how they started this season. Started the first season. Imagine how they can end each season with something as climactic as that.
Don't mind me Googling, did they cast live action Thrawn over here?
Stop, don't you, don't.
You didn't know this? This was months ago.
No.
This was months ago.
You two are monsters.
Monsters? I didn't look for it. How did you not know this?
You don't know. I know something.
I don't look it up.
Live action Hera, Sabine, Ezra. I don't know if you didn't know.
For this show.
For Ahsoka.
I know something you don't know.
They're in that show, and Thrawn is supposed to be somewhat of a staple in that show. How many times have we talked about this on the podcast?
We've never at least said he's cast on his on the IMDb page.
Oh, he's not cast on an IMDb page. He's not.
That would never be until the episode comes out.
But he's not on an IMDb page. I think it's the guy who voices him.
No, it's not.
Mars McKellen.
Stop it. Shut up. Nope. Stop.
Spoiler.
Spoiler for something that hasn't happened yet.
Andrew, text me. I wish you guys could come to my bridal shower. I've started planning it, and I'm inviting only women, and I'm like, man, you guys would be miserable if I invited you. Don't worry, I'm inviting your wife. She'll be there probably.
Oh, cool.
But you guys will.
Which means I probably have to drive her out there anyway.
Yeah, you can hang out with Alex. He's not invited, so
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah, go to the gun range.
But predictions for the show, we might go clay shooting.
Good, perfect.
I don't know. We've got two episodes to go. Like I said, there's still so much that can happen. They could be hour long episodes as well. We probably know already because it has probably been released on how long the next episode is going to be. But I'm not going to make an official prediction just because I'm just not going to make one.
Nothing at all. Not even a guess of
I know
where we're going next episode, who we might see.
I know what I want, but I don't want you to confirm it.
I will tell you this. All I know is who's not playing him.
I should amend myself. I'm only about 85% sure that they actually confirmed casted him.
I Googled it and there's no confirmation at all.
I read that they cast him, but I don't think they revealed who it is now that I'm thinking about it.
Okay, yeah, I think that sounds correct.
Let me phrase it this way. Whatever we talk about on here, I'm gonna show the same level of excitement when and if it's him at the end of this. It doesn't matter how much we talk about it and how much we speculate or look online to see if it's real. I'm still gonna show the same level of excitement because, like I said in the last episode, I love his work. You know,
I'm a big fan.
I'm a big fan.
Alex said, I will never get over the fact that they brought Bo-Katan in live action. So he's like, that's probably my top, and I'll probably never have that feeling again. And I was like, get out of this house. Like,
Andrew,
I mean,
you feel the same
great,
way.
But
I feel slightly different ways about it, but I feel pretty good about it.
Ways that he can't talk about on this podcast, but.
And how. Listen, I saw her when she was on Battlestar Galactica, like shortly after 9/11. So, like,
okay, there you go.
Yeah. And she aged like a fine wine.
You say it every time.
And when it stops being true, I'll stop saying it.
We know. Did you have any other predictions, Andrew?
You know what? I think I'm going to play devil's advocate and do what Wyatt does right now and not have any other predictions.
Oh, come on.
I've been pretty good
lately. How come I'm the only one? I threw some weird shit out there in the universe. I'm not afraid to be wrong. It's fun to just guess. There's no repercussions.
I mean, I've been right a few times lately. I can afford to be wrong.
He wants to keep his winning streak is what it is.
Perfect record.
No, I just don't really have anything besides what I've already said I think is going to happen at the end. I'm curious to see if we'll get Moff Gideon in this season, though.
I feel
like
he
will show up in.
I feel like.
What if he's in Ahsoka?
In the next one. Yeah, but he went to the red carpet. That's my basis for who's in the show this season. He was at the red carpet.
Was Jack Black at the red carpet?
No, he wasn't. You're right. He was not. I don't think. Actually, now I should go back and be like, I knew all along. Yeah. I kept it a secret. I texted my friend who works for Lucasfilm, and and she's a huge Lizzo fan. And I was like, oh my God, Lizzo was in Star Wars and you didn't tell me. And she has not replied to it.
What would have been interesting, and I would have had, if something had played out slightly differently in this episode, I would have had a giant theory of what could have happened. So the whatever little nanobots that Christopher Lloyd made, if he didn't make them and he received them from someone,
I would assume
that there's going to be a galaxy-wide droid problem to throw a monkey wrench in the New Republic.
Bad Batch.
What?
Because you were saying before, like, how the storylines kind of mirror each other.
Oh, no, that didn't happen. No. Okay. No, sorry to mislead you. What I mean is, like, it's a actual plot from the Empire. If he received them rather than made them, then I would be like, oh, it was like, this could be a galaxy-wide thing.
No, I feel like that's possible, though.
But I think he made them. I don't know.
Well, he could have said that he made them.
Oh, no, he ordered them, actually. Yeah. I think he said that he ordered them.
Yeah, I feel like they left that open.
Yeah, okay. So that would be really cool to see.
All signs are pointing back to Aliyah Kane, our favorite liar. So
yeah, she's doing they gave her an awful lot of reach.
Yeah, I feel like...
Yeah.
Well, and then Jack Black... Commander.
Whatever. In all fairness, during Operation Paperclip, we
Bombardier.
Gave the Nazis a lot of reach in American government.
True.
So,
but Bombardier had the amnesty name tag too. I paused and made sure I pointed that out. And Alex was like, "Okay, can you unpause it? I have to go to work."
Go in peace, brave travelers, until our paths meet again on next week's podcast on the penultimate episode of The Mandalorian. Good job, guys. This was a really good one. This was a really fun episode, not to requote Wyatt, but I thoroughly enjoyed this one.
Mm-hmm.
So got a lot of new stuff and it was great. Thank you all so much for joining us, listening. I know we have a lot of people who text us, hey, you guys are saved on our list. So so tomorrow when I go to work, when I'm driving to work, I'll be listening to this. Or I have people who, you know, do this on runs and stuff like that. I have old friends from the hotel, from church, from Chili's. So I appreciate all of you guys listening week after week to us rambling. And join us next week on the second to last episode of the season. We'll see you then.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode.
In the meantime, check us out on Instagram as @Spectre_radio and on Facebook as Spectre Radio.
Be sure to submit your questions via social media for a chance to hear us answer them on our upcoming segment, Consult the Council.
This is Spectre Radio, signing off.